Introduction. My voice cracked as I looked out into the packed auditorium and tried to gather my thoughts. I was frightened and exhausted, scanning the crowd and hoping to catch a glimpse of support from my mother. "God, please help me," I whispered under my breath. But I couldn't see my mother's face. I couldn't see any faces or the clock at the back of the room that was supposed to help me pace my speech and wrap up on time. It was all a blurry mess. Weeks earlier, I'd finally had the cornea surgery I had been putting off for years. The procedure was the best bet I had at finding some relief from a long-running case of chronic pain. My vision should have healed and actually improved from before within a couple weeks of the operation. But here I was, long past the time my vision should have returned, and no one could explain why my corneas weren't healing. I couldn't drive and was struggling to make sense of the blurry images on my phone and computer. At work, where I normally roam the halls asking everyone about their weekends and complimenting their outfits, I now spent most of the day hiding in my office. My world felt like it was closing in on me, and I was losing hope. It had been a taxing journey just getting to the auditorium. People laughed nervously when I referred to my mother as my seeing eye human, but I meant it literally. At the airport on the way here, I couldn't see more than a few feet ahead of me and had to depend on the kindness of strangers to find the right gate. I cried more than once, terrified that I'd spend the rest of my life visually impaired and needy. Surely the organizer would understand if I canceled, right? I felt miserable, with no idea how I'd deliver what the audience had been promised. An uplifting, inspiring speech on two of the great joys in my life, my faith and my work. Just days ahead of the event, I had dissolved into tears with my husband. "I'm a disaster right now," I sobbed. "How am I supposed to stand up there and offer anything hopeful to all these people?" All I wanted was permission to bow out from the event. Instead, his answer was simple: tell the truth. I've spent most of my life trying to make sure the outside world saw someone who had it together. Even when it made no sense to pretend, I kept a smile on my face and acted like all was well. Law degree with honors, check. Perfect husband and marriage, check. Flourishing career, check. Deep faith, check. Instagrammable travels around the world, double check. Yet all that desperate striving required an enormous expenditure of energy. Now I was on stage with no cover, as exposed and as vulnerable as I had ever been. I said a prayer, summoned my courage, and told the audience exactly how I felt. "The truth is, I'm in a really tough place right now," I said. "I had surgery weeks ago, and my recovery isn't going well. I feel overwhelmed and afraid. There are plenty of things I don't understand, but I do know this. What's happening now will make sense in the future." I couldn't read anyone's face to see if my honesty was connecting or landing with a thud. This wasn't my usual lighthearted speech, full of self-deprecating humor and punchlines. It was raw and gritty, but I knew I'd done what I was supposed to do. At the end of the speech, I found my way off stage and reconnected with my mom, relieved that it was over. What happened next was an overwhelming surprise. People lined up down the aisles, waiting to hug me, to pray with me on the spot, and to share their own pain. I lost track of time. There were plenty of tears, yet I was flooded with a wave of encouragement that swallowed all the pain of the last month. I was depressed and hurting, and that stage had been the last place I wanted to be. But what I got in return for taking off my mask was immeasurable, genuine connections with other people who had been down similar paths. Their love and prayer sustained me as my recovery continued. That night taught me something that's taken decades to really understand. Life is an adventure, and I've loved most of it as much as my beloved Disney World, full of princess fantasies and scary rides. My mom actually visited the Central Florida attraction when she was pregnant with me, a trip she believes sparked my lifelong addiction to the Electric Light Parade and endless rounds of It's a Small World, which, to be fair, can